Certainly good to see each of you here tonight, and we especially welcome those of you who are visiting. I want to mention that Chris Savage, Fried Hardeman student, has indicated he'd like to place membership here. Chris, if you'll stand where you are, please, back in this section. Chris is from Texas. His family's been with him today, and we are glad to have you in the area, Chris. In fact, I would encourage those of you who are students at Fried Hardeman, although you may be going back home quite a bit, we recognize that you'll take advantage of that opportunity each time, but that if you plan to be a part of our work here, let Brother David Powell particularly know, and we will look for ways to involve you. Our eldership here is always talking and planning in ways that we can involve those from the university, and we appreciate Chris letting us know of his desire, and we encourage others to do that, that we might help this to truly be a home away from home while you're here and be of service to you in any way that we can. And I don't just say that to have something to say. I mean it personally, and I think I speak for the congregation when I say we want to be of service to you in any way that we can. Many mornings when we awaken, we say to ourselves and to others, oh, if I just didn't have to go into work. Maybe in the morning when we awaken, most of us at least, will not have to. I believe if we thought it through, we might never make that statement, I wish I did not have to go to work. Because there are so many people in the world who do not have the opportunities that you and I have. There are people who might like to have your job or mine. In fact, not too long ago, the elders got a letter from a preacher somewhere in another state applying for the pulpit work here at Henderson. And I hadn't heard, and I'm glad they hadn't heard, that we were looking for some. But I felt for a few days that maybe somebody was after my job. And I was concerned because I am thankful that I have an opportunity to work not only for the Lord, but to work and be involved in working. Tomorrow is Labor Day. It's a day that we celebrate in our country and especially celebrate the opportunities that we have, the opportunities that we have to work. We've talked about this as being Labor Day weekend. Many of our own families, our own members, are out of town because it is a holiday weekend, and many of you that are here tonight are here because it is a holiday weekend. We talk about, we think about the subject of labor. Our reading tonight emphasized work. As we prayed together, we talked about the many ways in which we may be working in the Lord's kingdom. All the songs that Gary has led in our singing tonight have emphasized the idea of work, rising up to be about the business that is before us. The song that we'll be using in just a few minutes as an invitation song is not one we normally use, but I requested it because the last verse in it talks about, let us labor for the master until the roll is called up yonder. I got to thinking during the week about the subject of labor. This is not the subject that was announced in the bulletin. In fact, I even beat David Powell this week. He has a tendency to change one lesson, and I change both of them. So I'm ahead of David this week. I decided that we needed to just stop for a few minutes tonight and think about the subject of labor. We have designed the entire service, singing and all, to emphasize that. And I simply want to read several passages of Scripture tonight and approach this from the standpoint of why labor? Why do you and I get up in the morning and go to work? Or if it's another shift at another time of day, why do we work? What is there about it? What's the value? Why do it? I want to suggest to you tonight five reasons why we work based upon the Scriptures. Number one, it is good to be independent. Now, certainly when we are younger, we are dependent upon someone else. But it is good to be independent and to be able to do something for yourself and to provide for yourself. I have listened to some of the activities that went on with both of the political conventions that have taken place. And I think you would agree with me that there are some differences in thought on most subjects. But did you notice that at least among the responsible leaders of both parties, there's a great deal being said now about reforming and changing the welfare system? And even though there are some disagreements about how that's to be done, there seems to me to be one thing that stands out no matter what you are politically or which party you're listening to, and that is somehow or other getting more people to be independent, more people to have a job, and to be able to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And frankly, I admit to you that I'm glad that both parties are thinking about that, and I hope whoever is in the White House when the election is over and whoever's in Congress and in any responsible position that that idea will continue to be emphasized. I wish we could get to the point that no one who is capable of working and providing for himself is sponging off of somebody else. The opportunity to be independent is worth so much. Last night, I watched a little bit of the program that's called Texas Rangers. I think my wife watched most of the program. It was a good program last night. But the storyline had to do with a little boy who had fallen down in a hole. They were trying to get him out, but associated with that was the fact that the man in the family, and I assume it was his father, I didn't listen at the first of the program to know, the man had just robbed a bank. And he'd put the money in a trash can there close to where the little boy had fallen. I missed the majority of the middle of the story, but I came back in and saw the end of it when they rescued the little boy, and when they were talking to this man, and evidently he had done some things that were sort of heroic, and the stars of the show were saying to him, "We think that they will go easy on you. We think that we can help you in this way." And there was one man there who evidently was the head of a corporation or something, and this fellow turned to that man and he said, "All I want is a job. All I want is a job." He had done some things that he shouldn't do, probably would have to pay for those. But he said, "I just want to be able to have a job." In Ephesians 4:28, and we'll come back to this in a moment on another point where he talks in the middle part of the verse about working with your hands, doing the thing which is good, and another reason. I want you to notice that the first part of that verse says, "Let him that stole steal no more." I don't think it's by accident that that's in the verse. He is saying we need to get to the point that we're not dependent upon somebody else, whether it is by literally stealing or maybe a lesser degree of the idea of taking something from someone else when we really don't deserve it, even if it is given by the other person. He is saying there, I think, that we need to learn to be independent. And did you notice in the passage that Dan read a little bit earlier, that very familiar verse that we summarize with the statement, "If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat"? Now, that's not a principle that was put out by some union official. That's not a principle that was passed by the Congress of the United States. That's a principle that God gave us. And in this setting, in the earlier part, Paul said, "I had the right to be supported of you, but I didn't ask for that right. I worked with my own hands." And you remember how many times we talk about him as a tent maker. He said, "I'm a preacher of the gospel, but I didn't ask you to give me that which would have been right. And according to God's will," he said, "on these occasions at least, I wrought with labor and travail night and day, not to be chargeable to any of you." Isn't there something wonderful about not being chargeable? Not having to be completely dependent upon somebody else? Being able to be independent. And it's interesting that in Colossians 4 and verse 1, where he is talking to the masters about their relationship to his servants, and I've always thought that this includes the employer-employee relationship, he says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." You pay them in such a way that they receive that which they earn. There's just something about earning something when we work and are allowed to be independent that makes life better. So the first reason for labor is to be independent. The second reason that is indicated in the Word of God is to be able to provide for those who depend upon us and who in many instances may not be able to be independent, and who, if they do what God has told them to do, may deserve to be dependent upon someone else. I recognize in the time in which we live that many of the wives and mothers work outside the home, and maybe somewhat in the model of the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, work for the purpose of making the family unit what it ought to be. And certainly we honor those who approach that subject with the right attitude. But God has, from the very beginning, placed the basic responsibility of supporting the family upon the husband and the father. In Ephesians 5:29, we may overlook the significance of this as we think about all the other wonderful lessons that are in that passage. He says that the husband is to nourish and to cherish the wife. It seems to me that that is supplying the physical needs and the emotional needs. And the emotional needs brings on another subject for another time. But built into that word nourish, the husband, as he is compared in his love for his wife with the love that Christ has for the church, is told to nourish his wife. And so every husband that is here tonight, every husband who has a wife, who has a family, ought to want to go to work to be able to take care of that one who is dependent upon him. And in many instances, that wife may be basically carrying out the commandment to be a keeper at home and to guide the house, and is dependent totally, as she does that part of her work and supports her husband in that way, upon what he does and brings home to take care of her needs. And then there are the children. There is that passage in 1 Timothy 5:8 which is not talking about the parents and their children, rather talking about taking care of older relatives. But the principle is, one who will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. He is denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, there is the principle that it's not the children who are to lay up for the parents, but it's the parents who are to lay up and to provide for the children. And so there is that need of working in order to have something coming in to take care of those who are, by the will of God and by the necessity of the circumstances, dependent upon us. So we work to be independent, to take care of our own selves as much as possible. And then we work to be able to provide for those who do deserve the provisions according to God's plan. Those who cannot support themselves, and those who feel responsibilities and opportunities that make it such that they are deserving of support in the family circle. In the third place, I believe the Bible teaches that we ought to want to labor and work to be able to help those who are in need, in addition to those who may be in our own families. Go back with me again to Ephesians 4. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. Notice, labor working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Why was the good Samaritan able to give to the man who had fallen among thieves? And not only to help his physical needs, but when he left, to leave money. Provisions that for which are to take care of the things that the man would need. How did he have that? Why did he have that? I think it just goes, as you read between the lines, that here's a man who had worked and labored to have something to be able to help the person when that need arose. You and I never know when there is going to be a need that will surface in our situation. In James, the second chapter, verses 15 and 16, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, that's somebody in need, And one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? And you may recognize that that's in the setting of where he's discussing faith and works. Faith without works and service is dead. And he says, yes, there are going to be brothers and sisters who may need clothing and they may need food. And you be ready to give to them, and that readiness would include a willingness and the right kind of desire, but it would also include the right kind of preparation, having the wherewithal to take care of the needs that are there. Isn't it a good feeling to have enough ahead financially that if you see somebody that needs a meal today that you can take care of it? There was a time in our life when that was somewhat difficult. And I'm thankful that it is not as difficult now to do that. And when you tie with this passage, that familiar passage of Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are the household of faith, I believe that verse includes the financial point. That we ought to be ready, if at all possible, to help others. Now there may be times that all of us will be on the receiving end. I never will forget the response of brothers and sisters in Christ back at the time that Judy's father was killed in an automobile accident, and her mother and she were in the accident, and her mother was left an invalid. If it had not been for brothers and sisters in Christ helping us, yes, even financially, we never would have pulled through that time. And yet he says we're to do this to all men. And aren't you thankful that we announce from time to time when there's a house that has burned or when there is an extreme situation, medically speaking, in this community or in this general area or even in other parts of the world, and where we're able to help and to reach out. And sometimes it's a person who's not a member of the church, maybe not even related to the church through any of our members, but there is a need. Oh, we ought to be thankful that God has given us the ability and the opportunity to work in order to be able to help those who are in need, even to help a neighbor, even to help a stranger. Even to help a stranger when there is a reasonable need. And I know, as you do, that there are those who will take advantage of you. And there are those who are not much higher than a bum. But folks, there are people who need help. And I've always thought I'd rather help one who doesn't deserve it than to fail to help one who does deserve it. So we work and we labor to have to give to others and help others as there's a need. I believe in the fourth place that there is a value in work in being able to produce a good product. We may not think about this much, but I believe that it is sort of built into some passages of Scripture. If you look at the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, he's talking about relationships on the job, and he says, Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not taking away from the product, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God and the Savior in all things. When you and I go to work and we're a part of a company and we believe in that company, whether it's producing a better mousetrap, or whether it's producing a better mind or a better person in our schools and in jobs like that, we ought to be interested in that product, and we ought to believe in that product and want to make that product better. I'm not one who knows economics, as some of our teachers, even some that are in the audience tonight. But I am a firm believer that a company is in better shape with all of the employees really interested in that company and interested in that product. And it seems to me that some of the best approach that's taking place today in decisions relative to economics is where the leaders in a company are beginning to realize how important it is to involve all those employees. Maybe allowing them to be owners, part owners of the company, because they're interested in the product. we would enjoy going to work much more Tuesday morning if we really, really want to do a better job of producing a better product. Whether it's an automobile that's put out on an assembly line or it's helping to form the minds and the lives of the students that are across the street or out the street in either direction in one of our schools. Whatever it is, I believe there's something to be said about being interested in the product. And there's another passage over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 7. Not with eye service. He's talking about servants in the verse before. Well, let's go back to the verse before. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, be dedicated to the product. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We ought to labor to produce a better product. And then in the fifth place, I suggest to you that one of the reasons, and maybe one of the great reasons, that we ought to be thankful that we have jobs and we have an opportunity to labor and work, is to be able to support and promote the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 talks about laying by in store upon the first day of the week, but notice he says, lay by in store as you have prospered. And that word prosper there is dealing with the idea of receiving the right kind of pay for the right kind of work. As you have prospered, as something has come in your direction, and if we earn that which comes in our direction, it means some work. He says, I want the Lord's work supported by those who are prospering. And you have just sort of built into that passage the idea that God wants Christians to prosper in the right way, in an honest way, a reasonable way, a decent way, but to prosper, to be able to support the Lord's work. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, several verses there, about especially 13 through 15, talks about equality. And everybody, every Christian being involved in gathering. Some gather much, some gather little, he says in verse 15. But he says, I want all of this put together. And over in the 9th chapter, he calls it a bounty. I believe that you read this, you see the idea that God is saying, I want my people to labor and to work and to earn, to be able to take care of the work of the church. And the specific work, of course, that is being talked about in these passages is helping those who are in need. That was the work that was involved in Acts 11, where everybody gave according to his own ability, and they sent it to Jerusalem, to the elders in Judea at least, to take care of those that were having problems because of something like a famine. And it's the same principle that's involved in Romans 15, where there in verses about 25 and 26, Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm taking money from Achaia and from other places in that area to do the work that needs to be done. Here's God's people sending support from Macedonia and Achaia. Paul said, I'm taking it. How were they able to do that? Because they worked and they labored and they had an income in a setting of a right attitude, and God blessed them as he has promised to do, to where they were able to do more and more. Why labor? Oh, you and I may say when we get up in the morning, oh, I wish I didn't have to go to work today. And there may be some days when we're not up to par that we really feel that way. But I believe if we'll look at what God's word has to say, that we'll realize that having a reasonable job, being able to work and have a reasonable income, is one of the great blessings that we enjoy in this nation and in our area. That we might be able to depend on ourselves as much as possible. That we might be able to take care of those who by necessity depend on us. That we might be able to give even to neighbors and strangers who have need, and reach out to produce a better product, and especially support and promote the cause of Christ. All of these are associated with our labor. And I hope tomorrow, as we perhaps think a little bit more about work and labor than we usually do, that we will send our prayers of thanksgiving up to God for all the blessings that we enjoy and the opportunities that we have. And maybe, just maybe, if we understand what we've talked about tonight, we won't complain as much about having to go to work and put forth effort to have that which is needed to do what God wants us to do. We are a blessed people. Of course, we could work every day of our lives in material things and still be lost. It is this fifth point that ties it all together, that we do everything we do to the glory of God, to support and promote His cause. And I think even that which we use in all these other points, feeding ourselves and supporting our families and helping the needy, that all of that is a part of serving God, in as much as you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me, Matthew 25. And so just going to work, giving an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and using good judgment and how to divide that and use it to take care of our responsibilities is really what God wants us to do. That's what He wants Christian people to do. And give Him the glory for all the things that are involved. In just a moment, we're going to sing the song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. I want you to think about it tonight as an invitation song. And I want you to think about that last verse particularly that talks about labor. We certainly do not mean by that we can earn our salvation. The opportunity of salvation is by the grace of God. In fact, I think we can say that the availability of it is entirely by the grace of God, but our acceptance of it is when we reach out, not in works of merit, we could never merit it, but in works of obedience that are brought about by sincere faith. If you're not a Christian tonight, we would encourage you to believe in God and what He said and His principles. Believe in His Son. Have a penitent attitude, confess that Son, be buried with Him in baptism, become a Christian, and then just live. Live doing good. That's what Christ did, went about doing good. Live doing good the rest of your life. You need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?
When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share. When His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,